Roll sound, please. Roll sound.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
I see you there.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, 23-25. Calder, come on down and see us. We're here till 4. Blitz is here till 7. You are going to have all the fun and atmosphere that is Luke's Ice House. And on top of it, there are specials that will be here as well. Miller Lite, Coors Light buckets, $12 all day. Half-price nachos as well. So make sure you get down here, get out, and have some fun. We appreciate the folks at Miller Lite, Coors Light making this all possible. And as Granado would say, who doesn't? Everybody loves a little Coors Light on a day like today.
Nick, somebody was asking where you were. What's your name? Amber was asking where you were, Nick.
Amber?
She's like, where's Nick? Yeah, she's drunk. She doesn't know any better.
Yeah, Amber was there the last time we were at Luke's Ice House.
Yeah, she
Amber
showed me
and
a
Shane.
Picture.
I was going to say, Amber must have been one of the two ladies taking the pictures with Nick.
She's a big Nick Sciarra fan because she was like, where is he? I was like, he's producing. Otherwise, we're not on the air.
Yeah.
So he's important. He's kind of important to our show.
They kind of know that I'd be drinking too much over there at Luke's Ice House.
Oh,
so they said,
no doubt. No
they
doubt.
Said, no, Nick, you cannot come to Beaumont, unfortunately.
Well, Amber said hello.
Well, hello, Amber.
Think about
and
that,
Shane.
Nick. If
oh, Shane's not here. Is Shane? What is Shane? That made it weird. He's your husband. Okay, now it got awkward. Now, wow, just got super weird. So Shane knows about this? Is Shane? You know what this reminds me of? Look, okay, so Shane's into this. What is that category called? What is that? Don't make me say it, because I'll say it. You know I'll say it.
Well, any woman that's pulling out Nick picks,
how,
it starts bad and it goes worse from
hold
there.
Hold on. How big is Shane?
Oh, he's athletic, too. I remember. He's a Steelers fan, right?
Does he work out?
I just said he did.
6'2", 220?
In his sleep, he works out.
Yeah, I'm not scared of that. Is Shane a cuck? Because I feel like, no.
Sorry.
What? Well, I mean, when you're all right. Look, she's texting him. He's going to come beat my ass. When you can't. Oh, yeah, no.
You got more Nick pics on that phone?
Yeah.
I don't think I want to see him, but Barry's here. I'm just letting you know.
Well, so just so you know, Nick, you've got fans out here, bud.
I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and
appreciate
air conditioning
that.
Inside.
You've let them down. So, way to not show up.
We got fans here and air conditioning on the inside if you need that. Thank you. Two shows nightly. Tip your bartenders and wait staff. I'm here for you,
I heard
people.
It the first time.
I'm here for you, people.
Oh, you know what? He's only got 8 abs. I'm not worried about that. That's all he's got is 8 abs?
I hear it. Here I am thinking she's showing me another picture of Nick, and then I look at it and go, nope, that ain't Nick.
Wait a minute. I didn't even look. She was in a bikini, and all I did was look at the dude. Come here. Let me see that again. What is wrong with me? I feel like I looked at the wrong thing.
Have we not lived this a year ago?
Do you work out?
Yes.
Yeah?
A year ago, Nick, you lived through this same thing, only you were here in person.
Yeah.
Wow.
You remember they tried to smuggle you in the trunk of their car?
I don't remember that part, but I do remember them, not Amber specifically, but somebody giving me, who gave me the wipes for Barry?
Who gave you the wipes?
Yeah, the toilet wipes or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was Donna's friend. That was the blonde lady.
Amber is showing me the picture that y'all took together in her Adidas shirt.
Nick just got out of school.
And, boy, you were a lot thinner a year ago. I'll say that for sure. You were.
Nick, you looked like you went to a private school. You had the white polo. You had the backpack over one shoulder. You had your U of H hat
on. I don't even remember the pic, honestly.
Man, you were probably in a food coma. Wow, you have.
I ordered the burger.
Here? Nick, I'm going to text you the picture.
You need to go with me to Vortex if I go work out again. By the way, I was so pissed that someone texted the show and said Nick's not fat like I thought he was. That really disappointed
me. You said
that. Ruined the whole – well, we read the text, but I thought about it. It ruined everything. I really wanted the listeners to think that he was fat.
I thought it was ruined at the listener appreciation
party.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that. Oh, well.
Details. Just details.
Oh, well.
Still feeling funky on an FEF Friday, Barry? Frisky.
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 Yeah. Frisky.
Nick, I'm going to take a picture of that picture and text it to you so that you can have your memory refreshed as to you getting out of study hall just in time to take a picture here in Beaumont.
Picture of a picture.
Yeah, just so he can see it. Well, you have Nick's cell phone in here, right? You can just text it to him.
Oh, that's creepy.
Pause on both ends. Like, wait.
Hold on. I'll just read it out loud. Write this down, Amber. What's the matter, Nick?
Because I think one of these days you're going to slip and actually say the 10 digit. Like, you're going to say all of my, like, the entire phone number. You'll
Nick,
do
whatever
it.
Whatever gave you that idea? Like, when a listener pisses him off,
well,
and he
a listener,
gives
I can.
Digits,
I'm okay
happened.
With him doing it to a listener. One of these days he's going to slip. Like, he's going to give.
281.
No.
451.
Dude, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Someone can guess the last four digits.
Dude, are you kidding me?
Me?
Do you realize that 0000 to 9999? Do you know how many different combinations there are? It's like a license plate.
Who's
no
to say there's not
it.
Some geek or door
there's
crunching numbers right now?
Someone solving a Rubik's Cube their first time
Nick,
and getting that combination.
Who's to say no
right
one's
way?
Calling Daryl Morey right now and crunching
Nick,
numbers?
I hate to tell you, but no one likes you that much to sit down and go through a million combinations of four digits.
So
what if you? No one likes any of us that much.
What if you mention the first eight numbers? Do you think they can guess the last two?
Oh yeah, easily.
Okay, so here's Barry's number.
Do you want me to do that?
Narrow it down to two.
Yeah. What if I just said it's 814, and I don't give them the first number?
What if I said Barry's number is 832?
Yeah.
545.
Yeah. Keep going. I'll go get a new number. You don't scare me that much.
You're probably not going to get the text anyway with that whack-ass Android that you have.
Ah, it's a very good point, Nicholas.
All right. You know what?
That is spot on.
Here's the deal. You guys were bagging on my cell phone yesterday about how bad it was.
Yep.
I had a lengthy conversation with one Jerry Rocha, mind you, about he's getting a record deal.
Oh,
for
really?
His next album, yeah. And he's
good for him.
And he said that, yeah, he said he's going to hook me up with the same record company and the record deal. So, but we exchanged probably 10 texts last night with no problems. So don't tell me it's my phone when you guys are on the same carrier and it's not working for you. I don't know what to tell you, all right?
Well, I screenshotted.
All I know, Nick,
screenshotted
all I know
the conversation
is I went
and
for
I
a run last night, right? I went for a run. Before I went for a run, I checked my phone. Barry said, "Hey guys, I just sent you guys a text. Respond when you get it." I have not yet to this point in the day sent Barry a return text that said, "Hey, bud, I got this. We're good. Your phone's better." I don't know if you got it, and I'm missing it, but I did not get that text.
Nick got it.
No, I texted him the conversation with the times, and you could see there was like 4, 5, 6 hours of a gap in between each text. And it's something with your phone. It's not my phone. I'm not going to take the blame.
Sure.
No. I'll screenshot it and text you right now.
No, I don't care. I don't care that much. I don't think anyone else does. They know that my phone is superior. So
look, you're probably within the return policy.
We didn't have a microphone close enough to the audience.
Why? So. For Amber?
Yeah.
I repeated what she said.
He says, "Talking to the girl with no microphone, great radio. I love this
show."
Why is he always the critic and never the support system?
Amos,
instead of being a freaking
G-string,
be a pair of boxer briefs and support the boys. Support the boys. Amos.
I repeated
everything. He said he couldn't hear you.
I repeated everything that was important, Amos. I promise you didn't miss anything. Look, G the Never Dudes, they can't hear you, Amber. It's kind of pointless at this.
You're just giving Amos more ammunition.
G the Never Dude said, "Given the first six digits of a phone number, there are 10,000 combinations of different numbers after that." So I think you're safe, Nick.
You know 10,000 is also not the guy during the season that sends you "Go Rockets, they won tonight." And
that's not him.
CP3 was the
that's
leading scorer. He's a bot. What? Go ahead, Nick.
Nothing. I was just, 10,000 is still, I think someone smart enough could crunch some numbers.
No one likes either of us that much. I promise you.
Speak for yourself, bro.
You're right. No one's here wanting to take pictures with me. So you are correct.
I don't think anybody's going to text me like positive text. That's the problem. I think it's going to be very negative. It's going to be a massive backlash of I hate you, Nick.
I would be willing to bet you get several D pics.
That would be you. Nope.
I feel like you're just, anything I say, you're just saying is me.
Yeah, because I have nothing else to say right now. And I'm kind of like, I'm trying to still find your little clip.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
My little clip?
Yep.
Several people texting and said, does Luke's have peanut butter? Are there big Latinas? Lots of questions on the text line.
I don't think.
Random how you just brought that up now. God.
Go back and look. I'm not making these texts up. They're there.
But the timing of bringing them up on the air.
I mean, you know.
All right. I
know he's busy, so he can't really respond. I really can't.
I want to.
See? I'm strategic with it.
We'll be back with a whole lot more from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. Stop by and see us. We'll be here till 4. Blitz can be here till 7. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, old man, when they talking to you, they...
All right, that's Keisha Hunt. If you didn't recognize her voice, we're going to play another clip from her in just a few minutes. Had a little technical issue there, but we will be getting back to it. She is our Comedian of the Week on FEF Friday. Barry gave you a little bit of the backstory. If you missed any of it, check the podcast or ESPN975.com.
Yeah, she's done quite a bit. Who's Got Jokes, Last Comic Standing, Jamie Foxx Presents America's Funniest Comics, NBC Stand Up for Diversity. She's on Pandora, Sirius Satellite, and on Twitter at Keisha Hunt. Check her out. Very
there you
funny.
Go.
There Very you funny.
We got Cody Stutes coming up at 2:30.
Yep.
So he's going to join us for a segment. We'll be talking some football with him if we get to it based on Barry's questions, which I'm looking forward to, as he's going to pop in and periodically to our show, and we appreciate that. So we'll also be doing our picks for the week. I don't know. Are we doing them with spread or without spread this year?
With spread, since we're already having to do it for the ESPN on-air host thing. On-air plus, I think. We've added some folks to the mix. But, yeah, we'll do with spread this year. So,
okay. All right.
I think that'll make sense. Right, Nick, you're good with that? On-air, or I mean with spread?
Yep,
we're already
I'm good.
Doing it. Okay.
J Mark says, what about those that have the same first digits as Nick? We don't want those bunk hate texts either.
Yeah, see? Yeah, that could be anybody.
That's a good point.
That could be anybody.
Very good point. Fair point. Someone said you need to drop Boost Mobile and get onto a real network like the rest of us.
Ooh, somewhat. I'm
Chris
not reading
that.
Who?
Chris said Barry needs to drop the Boost Mobile. Get on a network like
that. I have AT&T, sir.
You did
a
make
fine,
that. You did point that out yesterday.
A fine establishment and cell phone provider. All right, you want to talk a little Astros?
Yep.
Little Astros, Red Sox.
Yep. Big series that anybody would go to as opposed to Patriots and Texans.
I hate you.
Let me ask you this first and foremost. Do you think that it's that big of a deal, no Verlander and no Chris Sale? I mean, the teams have seen the pitchers previous to this anyway, in the playoffs last year amongst other times, and during the regular American League schedules. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. Everybody's like, oh, you can't show them your best and get them, you know, accustomed to what they bring to the table until they need to face them in the playoffs. That's absolutely not true. The fact of the matter is that these are Major League Baseball players. They see the pitchers enough. You don't need to. I mean, I think that people are overblowing that.
I'm with you because, number one, I mean, Chris Sale's, he's not even back in the rotation yet, is he?
Right. No, he's still hurt.
And I think not showing them Verlander, it's not like this guy's a rookie that's never been around. These guys have seen Justin Verlander. They know.
They've seen Chris Sale with the White Sox.
They saw him last year in the playoffs. It's not like what he does is going to change. The approach might be different in the series. as opposed to the approach that you might employ in the playoffs. But seeing them, it's completely different than like, oh, well, there's only six games of game film on Deshaun Watson, and what are the Patriots going to do? That's completely different than it is in baseball. You still have to execute the pitches. You still have to put the bat on the ball. I'm just not a firm believer in not seeing a pitcher necessarily. Now, if you think that there's only one way to approach certain hitters, then you might not use that approach
right
in the series so that they're not aware of it until the playoffs. So like I said, approach is completely different than stuff.
I like Gerrit Cole on the hill tonight because Gerrit Cole has struggled, quite honestly, the last few outings and has thrown basically nothing but a steady diet of fastballs. And I want to see if his approach, as you were talking about, would change based on how the Red Sox fare against him tonight, because you know that J.D. Martinez is a student of the game. He watches a ton of film, and then he goes into the cages and he works on whatever that pitcher's best stuff is. He tries to adjust the pitching machines or get people to throw the things. And in this case, all they got to do is ramp up the freaking pitching machine to about 98 miles an hour and let him just continue to whack at fastballs at different points in the zone. I think it's something that's actually an advantage for the Astros, whether they win this game or not. I think the fact that you put them up against a guy that has basically been overly relying on his fastball in his last couple of starts, and it allows you to gauge not just those two guys, but how does the whole lineup react to a guy that's going to throw a very heavy fastball at you predominantly?
If I were to ask you, if you had to pick one, I'm going to give you two options and two options only, and you have to pick one, all right? Mm-hmm. Who's more likely to sweep this series, the Red Sox or the Astros? Giving the pitching matchup, it's Cole versus Price,
yep.
Morton versus Rodriguez, and Keuchel versus Porcello.
I honestly think the Astros would, simply because of the fact that the hitting is starting to come around. We know, and we've been talking about Bregman, but look, Altuve finally got a hit, but we know what he does on the road. He's an entirely different hitter, on the road, and he's a hell of a hit. He's even a better hitter on the road. Correa is the only guy that you wonder. They held him out of the lineup the other day. But overall, when you look at that and then you say, well, from a pitching perspective, the pitchers still that the Astros are throwing out there against the Red Sox, believe it or not, Porcello is the pitcher that has capitalized the most on the offense of the Red Sox, and he's not that great. So, you've got Price coming, who was good, really good post-All-Star break, but had an injury. He got hit by a comebacker, so we'll see what he's got. But overall, based on the pitching alone, I think I'd take the Astros. You?
I would probably go Red Sox because I think rotation-wise and these pitching matchups over the next three games is pretty similar. Yeah, I do.
I think Cole and Morton.
I think you're sleeping on Porcello. He had a down year last year, but wasn't he the Cy Young winner the year before that?
Year before, yeah.
And I realized that a lot of folks felt like Verlander should have won it that year, but he still had a hell of a year, and he had a bad year last year, no doubt. But Dallas Keuchel is also having a bad year, and that's the matchup. So I think all things being equal. Price is on his game. Eduardo Rodriguez is legit. Don't sleep on that cat.
How do you know Price is on his game? He's coming back off an injury. He had a
this year. This year, David Price better, this yeah. year is yeah. better than David Price has been recently. So I think all things considered, the fact that it's a home and they're at home, and the Red Sox are, I think they're like 9-7-3 in their last 10, and they lost two of their last nine or something like that. They're hot, and they just beat. They just swept the Braves.
I know.
Who are a really good baseball
team
this year.
Here's the other thing. They got such a big lead. Unless they really are amped up to play this series to make a statement.
Which I think they are.
They got nothing to play for otherwise. The Astros have to stay in front of the A's, and they know they got to consistently keep winning, even though it's a four-game lead in the loss column. So we differ. Nick, you want to break the tie?
I think he's busy.
Yeah.
I would say this, though, to make an argument for you, for your case, Astros are better on the road than they are at home.
Just like
and it's
Altuve,
so
yeah.
weird that they are, but, I mean, as good as this team has been playing, to go on the road might be kind of a relief to them, that they get away from Minute Maid for whatever reason, where they have tend to struggle this year a little bit and last year as well. So that would be the case that I would make against the Red Sox sweeping, but I just right now I feel like, man.
So you're with me. All right, so we both think that the Red Sox don't have a chance against the Astros if either team was to sweep. That's the way we do things around here. Shout out to Donna. She's finally made it here. She's a little late,
hey,
but better late than
what's
never.
Up, Donna?
She's here. We appreciate that. We appreciate all of you, and if you want to join us, hey, there's still time. We're going to take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. It's Luke's Ice House, 2325. Why did I just go?
Huh?
Calder. 2325 Calder Avenue.
Yep.
In the B. B-Town.
In the Mont.
In the Mont. Donna, you're going to side with Barry? That's not my fault.
She
That's
said,
your fault.
She said, hold on, let me say this so that Amos doesn't get
so
upset.
So we got to go to break, Nick. We got
Donna
a lot going
just
on.
Said, I've been here all my life. It's the Mont. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than I'm a
Have
genius.
Have you heard Blomont?
Obviously. I'm a genius, and I was BMT. Right. Once again, Barry was right on this show.
Bridge to
once,
nowhere?
Once again.
No? Okay. Nick all is right. not there. All right.
Yeah.
Great.
All right.
No,
coming
I'm here.
Up next
I'm here. I was just a little busy.
We
Cody,
Cody Stutz
is in studio,
joining
though.
Us. Yeah. He's going to be in studio joining us next. We'll talk a little college football with Cody. Maybe a little bit of Texans, Patriots as well. Stick around for that.
There you go. Usual Suspects. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you till 4 o'clock when the Blitz takes over right here in the Mont, 2325 Calder Avenue. Before we go any further and start talking some football with my man Cody Stutz, let's do a giveaway. We're going to give away Ziegenbach Festival tickets. Win a pair of tickets to the 16th annual Ziegenbach Festival. It's taking place at Sam Houston Race Park September 29th. That's a Saturday if you want to put it on the calendar. See the Randy Rogers Band, Pat Green, Casey Donahue, Reckless Kelly, Roger Krager, Kevin Fowler, many, many more acts. General admission and VIP tickets are available. Get your tickets now at shrp.com, or you can win them right now. We'll take caller number 8, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Caller number 8, 2 tickets, Ziegenbach Festival. Good luck.
There you have it. Without further ado, Barry teased it, but Cody Stutz is in the studio. He wants to talk a little football with us, and he's going to be stopping in periodically. So, Stutz, good to see that you got off the JV and got with the varsity. Appreciate you stopping by, spending some time.
Man, happy to be here. I'm just glad you guys left me the palatial estate that is the studio to hop on with you guys. Couldn't make it out to B-Mont. I guess that's what we're going with. I don't know.
The
Mont.
B-Town.
B-Town? The Mont? B-Town. Okay. You guys have said some very mean things about the best place to drive through on the way to Louisiana to gamble.
We get all our information from the residents of Beaumont. That's the
That's
way we
scary.
Do. We go only to our sources.
Through all their teeth.
Oh, no.
No, Donna, he said, do they have all their teeth?
That was
See,
Cody
that's
Stutz.
How you offend the residents
See, I made
of
that mistake 2 years ago, that bro. Was, you don't. You don't
Nick, do. Fill him in a break.
I'm
what
sure
he's
there's
about
great
to,
dentists out there.
On Twitter, there are no dentists in Beaumont. That was inappropriate.
See,
what about,
you
what
guys
happened?
Are all jumping on now.
All right, Cody, before we get to football, I got to say welcome to Gal Media.
Thank you.
Welcome to ESPN 97.5. Welcome to Sports Map. Some of the folks listening may recognize the fact that you used to be with one of our competitors.
Correct.
Home of our local football team.
Indeed.
So I wanted to talk a bit about that before we got into football.
Oh,
geez. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Awesome. So my very first question is, how much did you hate John Lopez?
I love John. He's one of my best buds in the biz, and he was fantastic. He was fun to work with, and nothing bad to say about him.
All right, who's the douchiest over at 610? who's the biggest douche at 610?
So it would probably be Paul, but I don't think Paul would shy away from telling you that. Like, you know, Paul knows what he knows, and he'll tell you what he knows. And sometimes it comes off as douchey. He's not douchey when you get to know him, but if you don't know him, he comes off as douchey.
No, yeah, we both know him. We think he's a great dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, that surprises me you would say Paul Gallant, because I know he's like a kind of a millennial. He's kind of emo or kind of
Paul's always dressed better than you, and you always feel like you're a little bit less well-dressed when you stand next to him.
Does he make you feel that way?
No.
Like on purpose?
I mean, he's just dressed to the nines whenever you see him, man.
Okay.
He's an East Coast guy, though, so he's always wearing this medium, looks like he just got off the yacht with a guy named Skippy kind of outfits.
He looks like he owns a yacht sometimes. He rolls through with like a blazer and white shoes and stuff.
Oh, no.
A blazer?
Yeah. Oh, dude, Paul can dress
for radio?
Nines, no, not for radio. Like, you see him in, like, impressive. Okay.
Cody, be honest. I mean, you said Ted Johnson was the douchiest forever.
That's not. Didn't say that. Nope. Nope.
Cody's getting his ass whooped. All right, now.
I ain't headed to Boston anytime soon.
I was listening on the way in, and I don't know if you heard this or not, but Patrick Creighton was talking about the fact that they used to force him, if he even tried to bring up the Astros or the Rockets, they'd be like, hey, you got to talk football. Is that true? Would they force you guys to talk about the Texans?
No, I never got any texts like that.
Okay.
It was an email, Cody. Would email change it?
No, I didn't get any emails like that either.
You can tell Cody wants to move on.
Yeah, he does.
He's getting uncomfortable. Why? I feel like you dodged that question. I feel like the answer to that was...
I'm never going to be in trouble if I'm telling the truth.
Oh, okay.
Well, you better start soon.
Yeah, I guess that's the case. Did you ever get to see Rich Lord in the hallways?
Yeah, I got to see Rich every day.
Does everyone over there hate him also?
God. No. No.
No?
No.
Are you sure? How old is he now? He's like 104, right?
I don't know how old Rich is.
Now he definitely wants to move on.
Who's older, Barry Warner or Rich Lord? Who's?
I don't know.
Barry Warner, for sure.
You got to cut them in half and count the rings like a tree.
All right. That's enough. I'll let you off the hook.
You've been working with Gal. You've been covering the Texans.
Yeah.
As well as your knowledge of college football. Let's start with the Texans. A lot of people are now obviously discussing it at a quite high frequency, the fact that Texans have never beat the Patriots. They've struggled mightily in their last seven games with the Patriots. What gives anybody a chance and hope that there's going to be a different outcome this Sunday?
Well, you got to look at last year, and you got to look at last year and what the Texans did with what they had last year and what they're taking to Foxborough this year. Last year, your starting tackles that you ran out there in your offensive line, starting tackles you put out there last year were Chris Clark and Bruno Giacomini. Neither one of those guys are in the league right now. Now, Julion Davenport and Chantrell Henderson, that's a big step up. The guard play is going to be better. Nick Martin's back at center. Deshaun Watson's a year older, a year smarter. You got to remember, that was his second start in the NFL, his third game of NFL action when he played the New England Patriots, and they almost beat the Patriots. That was without Will Fuller, who's a question mark for Sunday, but Bruce Ellington, another year deeper in this system. The defense is healthier than it was last year because you've got guys who are far removed from very serious injuries. Plus, it's just more talent on the defense with Tyrann Mathieu back there. I mean, it was close last year. The Patriots are less talented than when you played them last year. The Texans, this is the best shot the Texans have ever had to beat the New England Patriots, period.
You know, you mentioned Will Fuller, and I again, driving in, I'm listening to Patrick Creighton fill in for Charlie Polillo right here on ESPN 97.5, and one of the things I noticed, they play like this montage of Deshaun Watson touchdown throws. Towards the end of that montage, it was all Will Fuller. It was Will Fuller, Will Fuller, Will Fuller. Is he maybe the best-kept secret? Because the offense is getting a little bit of love, but I feel like maybe some folks are sleeping on Will Fuller, or am I just looking at pie in the sky here?
So Will Fuller, to me, is a better wide receiver than he was last year, just watching him in practice and some of the action that he has had on the field and what he has been able to do. He's a better wide receiver. He added a little bit of weight. The hands are still there, but Bill O'Brien made the comment that his hands are stronger than they were last year, and I don't know if that's like a physical strength or just a general sense of what he thinks, because Will Fuller had a case of the drops. He's coming into the league, and you've seen it a little bit in his Texans career. I think he's a real key because Hopkins already takes a lot of attention and already draws a lot of attention for defenses. So with Will Fuller out there, it adds a whole other element of the underneath game where Ryan Griffin, Bruce Ellington, and then guys catching the ball out of the backfield can really have some success. Those easy throws, those throws that Deshaun Watson can check down to. And then with Fuller, if he's a more complete wide receiver than we've seen previously, then Will Fuller can go in and really take over a game with his ability to get behind defenses. And if he doesn't take over the game, he allows it for DeAndre Hopkins to be easier to take over that game from the wide receiver position. Now, going into this weekend, you got the hamstring issue with Will Fuller that's lingering. We'll get the injury report here. Gosh, I feel like any minute now. He has been limited. Bill O'Brien said, we'll see about him. My gut feeling says that if the hamstring thing is even worse than 90%, they're not going to play him just in case you don't risk him for the next few weeks. But if he plays, this offense is going to be fantastic and so hard to cover for the Patriots defense.
I mean, they got an advantage, too, because the Patriots secondary seems to have slipped a little bit as well. So you got to believe he'll have a favorable matchup. But on the other side of the ball, I wanted to ask you about the Texans defense. We know all the guys coming back from injury. We know late in the preseason that J.J. Watt and Clowney got back on the field. But and then, of course, with Vrabel leaving, you've got Romeo Crennel back at the helm of the defense. Obviously, both guys had a lot of familiarity with the Patriots. And from a New England standpoint, it's Brady and Gronk and not a whole lot more right now with what they put out there offensively. How do you see the defense shaking out week one for the Texans?
So it's Brady, Gronk, and then don't forget about Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan is the guy that just dominated the Texans at the Greenbrier last year during joint practices. He dominated in the game that the two teams had last year. The Texans, for whatever reason, just lose him in coverage sometimes, and he had a nice game last year against the Texans for the Patriots. But after him, my goodness, this is maybe one of the worst offensive units that they've put out in recent years. Philip Dorsett, Cordell Patterson are some of the other wide receivers. They got a guy that couldn't even make the Jets on their team. But they've got a bunch of guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. James White, Rex Burkhead. Again, when I say the Texans are the most equipped to beat the Patriots that they've ever had, I say that because the secondary is better than we've seen in a long time for the Texans. Last year they knocked down Brady, I think, 9 times. They sacked him 5 times. And you saw what good that did. Tom Brady had one of his best games of the year as far as the stat sheet goes. They even scored a touchdown on defense, and they couldn't beat the Patriots. This year, though, with Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson and Justin Reed at safety and Aaron Colvin as an addition to the cornerback position, that takes a lot of pressure off of Jonathan Joseph and Kevin Johnson, who would have to play perfect at times because the safety play just couldn't get it done last year. I mean, they were running Corey Moore and Andre Howell at Gronk last year, Eddie Pleasant at Gronk last year. That's not going to be the case. That's going to be the Honey Badger this year. It's going to be Kareem Jackson. It's going to be Justin Reed, who struggled with tight ends early in camp, but by the end of camp was really taking it to tight ends in practice. So this is the most well-equipped this defense has ever been to slow down Gronk and to take care of the Patriots offense, because you're going to have to score a bunch of points to beat them. But if you can force Brady to make one mistake, he's only thrown 3 interceptions in his last 6 games against the Texans. If you can force him to make one mistake, take advantage of it, and put some points on the board, that may be enough to take care of New England.
All right, good stuff, man. We've got to get to break. How do you see this? I know you said it's their best chance to win. Is that going to happen?
I truly believe they're going to beat the New England Patriots on Sunday. I think this is one of those like 31-27, you know, 38-31 type games that you'll see from this team. But they got the firepower. This is the best shot they're ever going to get at the New England Patriots. And so I'm going to give them the dub this week.
There you go.
Cody, 6'10", still feeding you Kool-Aid?
just the water from the little water machine that's really slow down the hall here.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll work on the flow then. We're going to work on your flow. We've got plenty of sponsors for that. We appreciate your time, Code. We'll catch up with you next week, but thanks for stopping by.
Sounds good.
There you go, Cody Stutes. We appreciate him. He'll be stopping and talking some football periodically. We are the Usual Suspects. We're coming to you live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. You can stop on by. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
One last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, man, when they talking to you after they ask you something or tell you something, they got to mumble after they just got through talking to you.
Hey, listen here. Hey, say, listen here. Hey, when you go to the store, make sure you get American cheese. I don't even feel like food. I don't know what to do. I go to the store, they always got to get the different kind of cheese. I don't eat no white cheese. I ain't white. I don't like white cheese.
Hey, back from Beaumont. Luke's Ice House. Come on by and see us. It's Usual Suspects till 4, Blitz till 7 o'clock, 2325 Calder Avenue in Beaumont. We always love stopping down and seeing the good people of B-Town, so you should stop in and be a part of it. Barry, you call it the Mont.
The Mont.
Whatever
big,
you call
big
it.
Big Willie
get
style.
Here. Don't call you late like Donna. Donna was late getting here. We don't want to call you late, too. Get here now and enjoy the festivities till after 7 as everybody has some fun when we come down to Beaumont.
Yeah, it's a good time. The drive kind of not enjoyable for us folks in Houston, but, hey, they do this all the time. They drive out
to
Houston.
I don't mind the drive here. Yeah. I hate the drive home. How's your little highway sideshow traffic-wise to get home from
highway
here? 105 or whatever?
Oh, that's not bad at all.
See?
I got to go way out of your way.
Yeah, I got no choice. I go either I-10 or when I have the easy tag and have to go over the bridge to catch the toll road, no shot. Either way, I won't be home before 7 o'clock tonight.
7?
Yeah.
It's going to take you 3 hours?
It's quite possible.
Wow.
Yep. Especially without an easy tag.
Yeah, that
But
sucks.
Since I'm getting paid by the hour, it's going to help me on the way home.
Yeah, right. Did you see this thing where Richard Sherman said that he predicts a lockout is going to happen once the CBA expires? You buying what he's selling on that?
It'll be interesting. I think there's definitely going to be some serious negotiations because I don't think the players at all like the direction everything's going, the communication with the league, the inconsistencies with the commissioner. Of course, CTE is again going to be an issue as well. They still haven't figured out how and what they're going to do with a consistent outline and message for how they're going to handle the anthem. So I think that there's a lot of things that make for some major negotiations and discussions that could kind of sidetrack things. But I think that with all that being said, I don't think that anything is going to be a work stoppage that affects games simply because of the fact that from the president on down with all the criticism and everybody saying that ratings are down and popularity is down, they can't run the risk if things are going in a south-type direction of missing any substantial time, especially regular season games, because that would really hurt them.
I think that this is going to come to I agree with you that some of those things you listed are going to be important to them, the CTE and the safety and some of the rule changes and the anthem and stuff like that. I really feel like that this collective bargaining agreement is going to be more about guaranteed money than anything else. Well, you've seen this trend where folks are starting to get more guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And
look at the other sports.
Exactly. And that's been a thing. I mean, I've bitched about it a lot where I think it's unfair that NFL players are the ones taking the most risk out of all the major sports, maybe other than hockey. They take that big risk, and they're the least guaranteed as far as their money goes. And I think that they've had enough of it, too. So the NFL is making money hand over fist. These owners are making money hand over fist. Yes, the players are getting paid, but they're leaving money on the table. Once teams feel like they're not useful anymore, they just discard them. And cut them and don't have to pay them. So I really think that, and that could, to me, the fact that they're going to be arguing over guaranteed money and guaranteed contracts, I think you could see this linger into the regular season. You could see some scab play. You could see.
See, that's where I think that it's got to stop. They've got to realize for the betterment of the game from both sides, and we know how driven by the bottom line the owners are and how everything that they use as an opinion in any of these issues that we've mentioned and others is directed with their bottom line in mind. I don't think they can miss any regular season time without realizing how substantial a hit they could take. But I'm with you. No athlete in any other sport, and you and I have covered this before, and we're both on the same page. No one takes more of a beating and a physical beatdown of their bodies on a week-to-week basis and has less security than NFL football players, and it's not even close. And not that you're saying that everybody should be having those career years like Ricky Henderson every time he was in a contract year, you could guarantee that he was going to have, you know, substantial upticks in stolen bases and average and everything, and then the minute that he got his contract done that he would just kind of relax again and take days off and do all those things. I don't know that it gets to that point, but I don't think that there's any doubt that if you're an NFL player, you absolutely should speak out more and try and get more because you do put up and give up more of your body than any other sport.
I want to say the last time they did a collective bargaining agreement, it was like a 9 or 10-year deal, 10-year deal maybe. The problem with the players is if they don't draw a line in the sand and say, we want 80% of all contracts guaranteed or 70% or whatever it becomes, that they up that minimum that a contract is guaranteed for. If they don't do it now, it's wasted because now they're going to have to wait another 10 years to try to make more inroads in the guaranteed money. I think this might be that moment, that, you know, that tipping point in this league and with this sport that they're going to, for lack of a better word, the owners are going to have to poop or get off the pot. They're going to have to make that decision. are they going to play nice with the players?
I'm
going
to give you one that's not going to be a stumbling block that gets to the point of lockout, no lockout, but I'll give you another one that they're going to put in somewhere in the clauses, and that is everything that they agree to and everything that's compensation-based with the players is for a 16-game regular season schedule.
Yeah.
They are not going to allow the owners to try and eliminate two games in the preseason and add two more in the regular season and realize how much more wear and tear and injuries are going to happen if that isn't addressed as well.
Yeah, and it's a good point because we've heard Jerry Jones talk about, we could add two games. I think if they did that, though, contractually they would have to bump everybody up on a per-game number.
Take it by a per-game basis yeah. and add it plus
But you're
two.
Right. That's also going to be part of the discussion is preseason games. Do we really need four?
Right.
Should we only play three? I mean, they don't play starters anyways.
Right.
But it's still something to look
but
at.
But as a season ticket holder, you're being charged for that game whether you
yeah.
go to it or not, regardless of who plays
I
or
tell
not.
You know what might be funny is the owners might say, look, we're not budging. We're going to have four preseason games, but we will up the guaranteed money that you get because they love that free money up front. Those games,
yep.
they love that money.
No doubt about it. All right, we got two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show, and we're going to be joined by the Sports Mappers next. Don't go anywhere. It's 60 minutes on the clock. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.